So you hear what the song says?
I am God. I am. I am. I am God.
That was not on my mind. This song was not on my mind when I was doing this word message. I'm going to tell you what was on my mind. I woke up and I told my wife about it. I said, this is what I woke up to. I had not planned to do this. I was thinking about something else. But here's what I heard God saying in my mind as I woke up. As a matter of fact, it woke me up. It says, God is not a competitor. God is not a competitor. Write that down if you need to. God is not a competitor. Are you listening? Listen to what else he said. God is not competing for the souls of men. Y'all know you're getting this. God is not competing for the souls of men. Got that? God is not competing for the souls of men. Hallelujah. And here's what he said. As I began to type that, he added on, he says, I will not, this is very personal, I will not compete for your attention. I will not compete for your attention. I will not compete for your will. I will not compete for your will. Make sure this is being taped today. This is a very important message. God has no competition. You got that? God has no competition. And finally, God has no competitor. God has no competitor. That's what was in my mind. And that's why I typed out. And as I typed it, I said, wow. So then obviously when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to find out where he's coming from. And that's what God does. God speaks to you, and then you have to get it out and seek after him and ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me? What is it that you're saying to me? And your word is there. Because if he's saying something to you and you can't find it in the word, it's not God. Are you listening to me? Doesn't matter how amiable it is or how beautiful it may sound, if it's not in God's word, God is not speaking to you. If you cannot find yourself in God's word, you need to find yourself in God's word. I'll say that again. It's not a play on words. If you cannot find yourself in God's word, you need to find yourself in God's word. Do y'all get that? If you can't find yourself in God's word, you need to find yourself in God's word. In the text that we're going to look at this morning, Isaiah chapter 46. It's a short chapter, verses 1 through 13. It's only 13 chapter verses. Praise the Lord. I'll take that if you don't know what to do with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 46 is verses 1 through 13. In the text, God asserts himself as God through the prophetic message of Isaiah to his people. Now, people are making all kinds of declarations this day and time and decrees, and I said, okay, fine, amen. I'm not against that. But what I don't understand is how we don't make the declarations that really concern ourselves. It seems that we make declarations outside of ourselves and outside of what we can do and what we have some kind of authority and control over. I know one thing, Sister Carolyn. I may not have authority over a lot of things, but I got authority over myself. I have that. So in other words, Sister Julia, I can say what I'm going to do in the morning, what I'm not going to do in the morning. Of course, we all realize that there is a disclaimer, right?
Right.
And that disclaimer is, if it be God's will. But for the most part, I can say, if it's the Lord's will, I have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 at the City Hall in Evanston. I got that meeting. And I have to make sure that I make my calendar and make my schedule so that I'll remember that I got that meeting and be there. Now, there's another thing that I know about that meeting. They've appointed me to be the chaplain, if you will. I give the devotion every other Monday. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I have to prepare myself with a devotional, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 minutes, but I'm trying to make it between 5 and 10. Every other Monday. So I have to prepare myself. Are you listening to me? I have authority over that. I don't have authority over what Brother Boney does. I don't have authority over what's your name, baby? Tamaya? I don't have authority over what you do. As a matter of fact, none of us have authority over each other. Each of us are individuals. We can make our decisions on what we are going to do every day. What we believe, how we believe, how much we believe, how deeply we believe. What are our convictions? What are our commitments? Those are all things that each one of us as individuals have authority over. So I can make a declaration that says, you reign. Can I? I can make that declaration. I can make a declaration that says, you reign. Praise the Lord. In other words, I can say, God, I can say this with all conviction that you reign, or I can say it half-heartedly, or I can say it a little bit with a little bit of commitment or conviction.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I have to make that declaration. I have to declare it. And so what can hinder that, or what can modify, or what can, what's the word I want to use here that can mess it up a little or change it? Alter it. That's the word. What can alter it is the circumstances and the situations. I can walk in here and I can see all these empty chairs and I can say, God, are you really in charge? Or I can say, you reign. I don't have to let the circumstances dictate what my declaration is. Hallelujah. I don't have to allow situations and circumstances to alter my declaration. Or I can. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Bless his name forever. And so as I look at that and I heard that song this morning, I said, oh God, I can make a declaration right here now that says that you reign. And I can turn all this over to you. Or I can keep looking at it and wondering and get heavy burdened and burdened down. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I choose to declare that he reigns.
He reigns.
And the moment that I make that declaration, the burdens are lifted. There's a newness. There's a freshness. And as I look at my situations over my what? Anybody here got any circumstances? Every one of us in this room here today got some circumstances. Isn't that right? Whether they be personal circumstances, whether they be public circumstances. But he reigns. Whether you mess up, whether you slip up, whether you cut up, whether you act up, still reigns. I'm going to see that in this message today. So in the text, God asserts himself. God asserts himself. God asserts himself. Praise the Lord. Anybody know what asserting yourself means? Yeah, you assert yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we do it. You know, I am. I just use my wife as an example right now. When we were in Virginia, the church that my sister ended up in her latter years, in her years after she was married, what, 20 years? 21 years. Well, she had left New York. Well, when all of us were together in New York at one point, all of us young people, that we grew up together, it's a, There's a group of us, and so as obviously as we got older, we start to scatter.
And
the group, we go to our different places. And so I ended up out here, and she and I ended up here, and Brother Bobby and his family is actually now living in Delaware. All of us were in New York. Marie ended up in Virginia. Sam English is around in Richmond, Virginia. My brother Earl is in Florida. Tim English is still in the Bronx, New York. And my sister Joanne is in New York. My sister Janice and my other sister Elaine is in Baltimore. And you get what I'm trying to say? We just go different places. It's kind of like Barboni. He's in America, and he lived in Trinidad, and specifically in what? Morvant. Praise the Lord. And Sister Julia, I don't know, what were you? Were you in Morvant too? You was in Morvant? Same place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there are some people who were not in Morvant who live in Trinidad, but it was Sister Carolyn, and she was from here in Neverston. Praise the Lord. Sister Terry was here right in Neverston, and Brother and Sister, they're from Chicago. Praise the Lord. Rose is from Neverston. Praise the Lord. And they just came from different places. And that's the way it was. Praise the Lord. All of us were in different places. I was talking about, thank you. I was talking about her being in Virginia and having to assert herself because the people in Virginia didn't know her. Only her husband and her son and those really close knew her. But no one else knew her. So when she was introduced herself, she says, "Hi, I'm Angela. I'm Rose's sister." So she had to assert herself. Otherwise, they don't know who she is. Y'all get the picture? So the reason we assert ourselves a lot of times is to introduce ourselves, to make ourselves K-N-O-W-N. Make ourselves known. Praise the Lord. God asserts himself. Does God have to assert himself to you? He doesn't, but he does, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he did this morning for me. He said, "He reigns over you reign." Yeah. He reminds us through song. He reminds us through scripture. And when you're singing it, and you're just singing it, the word says, "You reign." But after a while, the message of the song hits the spirit. Hallelujah. And you say, "Oh yeah, you reign." He asserts himself. Hallelujah. That's why he said he gave us the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
To bring to our remembrance. You see this in this passage. Let me go. I'm going to get to it. His assertion in this text is that he alone is God. That is his message then, and that is his message today. I am God. Can you read that? Oh, it's not up there anymore. Say, "I am God." There it is. Right there. Say it. Hallelujah. Not you now. When you say it, you're not talking about yourself. I hope. Hallelujah. The way sometimes folks think is, and they act is that like they think they are God, don't they? All right. So in this text, it says, "I am God." That is his message then. His message now. It will do us good to remember that message. In the text, verses 1 and 2. Let's go to it right quick. Verses 1 and 2 says, "Bel and Nebo, the gods of Babylon, bow as they are lowered to the ground. They are being hauled away on ox carts. The poor beasts stagger under the weight. Both the idols and their owners are bowed down. The gods cannot protect the people, and the people cannot protect their gods. They go off into captivity together." Praise the Lord. Now you say, now what's the difference, Pastor? The children of Israel went off into captivity. Did God go with them? Think about that now before you answer. God went with them. Yes, God went with them. And so there was a difference. The children of Israel went off into captivity because of their sin. The enemy was not holding the children of God captive. No, you got to get it. See. You got to understand. And because on that, in that perspective hangs your freedom and hangs your deliverance, hangs your victory. The enemy can never captivate you. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm trying to tell you right now. You belong to God. And he says, "I am." Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, Sister Carolyn, did you used to get in whippings when you were a kid? I don't know about you, but my mama used to use her hand, but most of the time she used a switch or something, a strap or something. Yeah, something else. Right? Sometimes she made. But when she was whipping you, did the switch own you? The switch didn't own you. Not even the punishment. The punishment didn't own you. Who owned you? Mama owned you. And mama was the one inflicting the pain. Mama was the one inflicting the punishment. Mama was the one inflicting the correction. You understand? So that's what I'm trying to tell you now. The difference is that when you belong to God, you don't go off into captivity. God brings you into correction. Are you with me? And so this passage cannot relate to that. And so as we go into this passage, it talks about comparisons. And that's what this scripture is about, comparison. You need to start thinking in terms of who God is.
I am God.
And our perspectives will cause us to either be victorious or be defeated. Go back to verses 1-2. I'm finishing. It's going to take me a little bit to try to teach this a little bit, please. Notice what it says. Bel and Nebo. Those were the gods of the Babylonians. The gods of Babylon. What it say they do? They bow as they are lowered to the ground. God never bows. He comes down to us, but he never bows. He says they are being hauled away on ox cart. God never was. Had to be hauled away on an ox cart. The only similar to this is when the children of Israel had the altar of God and the enemy captured the altar of God. But even then, good God Almighty. Hallelujah. When the altar of God was taken into the temple of the enemy, you'd read it. Bible says that them gods fell. They bowed down to who? Are you listening to me? Praise God. See, you got to know who God is in your life. So you stop bowing to the how did Paul put it? The beggarly and weak and beggarly elements. Y'all remember that? The weak and beggarly elements. We need to understand that we don't have to bow to that. We don't have to give in to that. God is God. And so it says that they are being hauled away in ox carts. The poor beast stagger under the weight. Now, I consulted Stuart Briscoe. Stuart Briscoe, as my main contributor here, because he gave me the most ideas, and I went everywhere searching. It's quite interesting, you know. My little granddaughter yesterday asked me, said, "Pop up, yeah. Where does it say in the Bible that when you die you go to hell?" I said, "It doesn't say that." "Oh, well, where in the Bible does it say when you die you go to heaven?" I said, "It doesn't say that either." She said, "Oh." I said, "Well, what is it that calls Christians to have that perspective? Is that if it's not there?" She used some other words, and I can't really think of them now. But I said, "Well, because it does not say it in those words," because she's studying with the Jehovah's Witness. And they try to be so exact, you know. It says this and that. But to it, they don't understand. They're looking at the letter. And the scripture said the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that makes alive. And when you read in the book of the Gospels, Jesus was talking to his people, and his disciples said, and they asked him, "Why do you speak with us to the people in parables?" He says, "Because I'm talking to them, so they won't understand." He says, "If I tell them the truth, they are here, they get it. And if they see it, they'll be saved." Whew, that has a great weight application. Do you realize that if God didn't reveal to you what you know about salvation, you'd be lost? I can't tell you. I can't tell you clear enough. I can't tell you plain enough, can I, Sister Carolyn? The scripture said faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only God can reveal to you, Pam, what it means to be saved. Amen. You don't have, you and I, no one else has that type of intelligence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why he said he'll take the weak things of the world, confound the wise. And you're sitting here under this wisdom that God is speaking, and you take it lightly. What you have, the writer Paul, I think it was Peter, said the prophets used to look into it. They couldn't see it. They wanted to know. And you got it. What says it? Don't say you got to go up to heaven to bring Jesus down and go down below and bring him up. He says, "Well, nah, it's to you right now. It's in your mouth. In your mouth." They stagger. Look, both the idols and their owners are bowed down. The gods cannot protect the people, and the people cannot protect the gods. They go off into captivity together. When God said that, that's what's happening. The difference is with us, even though they were, and listen, let me just slow down. He was talking to them while they were in captivity, and he was trying to tell them the difference. You don't see yourself like the world, because you're not like the world. Right. Paul said it every Sunday when we do the communion. He said, "Look, you examine yourself, because if you do it, then I don't have to do it. But if you don't do it, I'm going to do it anyhow, and I'm going to get you so that you won't be condemned with the world." He made a distinction right there. You're different. I'm going to get you corrected so you won't have to be condemned with the world. That's right. That's it, sister. Whoa, you're getting it. See, that's when you get the revelation. You start, whoa, you don't look at yourself and see how worthy you are. You just start saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Look at these here. He says, so what's happening here, Brother Boney? What's happening here is, what word would you use with these gods? What are these people doing? C-A-R-R-Y-I. They're carrying their God. They're carrying their own God. They have to take him down off the pedestal and put him on the cart and take. Come on, God! Now, don't get this. Listen, they were leaving because the Assyrians were coming upon them. They were in a war, and the Assyrians was about to defeat them. And if the people, God, get defeated, you know they're defeated. So in order to protect them, their God, from being defeated, they got to carry. Come on, God, we got to go. The enemy's approaching. Hello? Now, y'all are laughing, but then you know what? There are a lot of folk who call themselves Christians who act in the same way. They act like they got to save God. They see people doing stuff, woo, these people, thought, and they got to save God. You don't have to save God. Remember what I said. God is not a competitor. He's not competing for the soul of men. Isn't that right? What says the scripture? The Bible says he knoweth them that are his. And when he comes to take up his jewels, he said, these shall be mine. These shall be mine, saith the Lord. I know who I am. I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against the evil day. Do you know the same God I know? Praise the Lord. Sister Shirley, when folk know God, it's just like your grandchildren know you. Listen to me carefully. They don't let religion or nothing stop them. When they walk through that door, we may be in prayer. Isn't that right, Sister Carolyn? We may be praying. We may be doing everything. Nana. We just in there, just Jesus, oh Lord. Nana. Are you hearing me? Praise God. When people know their God, the devil can be acting all kind of way. Your loved ones be acting up. Hallelujah to God. It don't matter what's going on. God, whatever the problem is, when the wind is blowing, the storm is rising, the rain is, God. Everybody else talking about this thing and that thing. Trump may win. Hillary may win. God. Isn't that right? Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Oh, bless his name forever. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know what he said? Paul said, y'all need to understand this one thing. This is the apostle. This is the apostle. Somebody read it for me. Verses 1. Start with verse 1. 2 Corinthians verse 1. Someone with the New Living Translation, if you got it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to hasten on. Is everything all right? Y'all understanding? You got the NIV? Stand up and read. Verse 1. See what he said? He asserts himself. He tells you who he is. And he tells you that he used this disclaimer, didn't he? He said, I'm an apostle, but only by the will of God. Read on.
And Timothy, our brother, Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, so also
thank you. Thank you very much. You see that? So he's talking about you going through some stuff right now. Somebody say, I'm going through some stuff. Somebody say it again. See, now Sister Crystal said it like she really meant it. You know what she did? Here's what she did. Now y'all here need to watch me. She said, I'm going through some stuff. That's when you're really going through. When not just your mouth can say it, but your whole body witnesses to what's happening. your innermost being, your soul. Anybody ever been going through stuff even in your soul? Huh? Well, I got some encouragement for you. Notice this. Harold, Gerald, notice this. Wait, I want everybody, especially you, Sister Krista, because this is for you. Read it. Let her read it by herself. Go ahead. Sounds like he's going through some stuff, don't he? Huh? Is that stuff? Okay, now, don't go ahead of me, taking my thunder away. All right. Okay, someone, Sister Krista, now read it nice and loud so all of us can hear you. I know you're going through it, but you can read loud. Read. Does that sound like the stuff that he's going through is deep, is in his soul? Sister Julie, he said, we despaired even of life. We didn't even know if we were going to live. Look at verse 9. Yes, we had the sentence of what? Death in ourselves, that we should not do what?
Trust in ourselves.
But in what? That's when you know you're going through some, and that's when you know you can say, that's at that point you realize, Sister Donna, you said, you reign.
Yes, you reign.
Because even if you kill me, you can raise me up from the dead. Yes. Lord, have mercy,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Are you willing to die so he can raise you? Hello, somebody. Tell me. Are you willing to die so he can raise you? Because that's what he want to do. And until you get to that point, you're going to keep on going through. I'm going through some stuff. We were at Bishop Moody's Friday night. We was at Bishop Moody's appreciation dinner. He's been in ministry for 59 years. And one sister was saying, please don't run back and say nothing about this because I don't want to make it seem that I'm being critical. And I'm not. It's just that's the way my mind thinks. She was saying, I was in a dark place, and perhaps she was. In her perspective, that's where she was. But at that moment, my spirit said, never. Christians are never in a dark place. Y'all hear me? I don't care what you say. That's what this message is all about, teaching us who we are. You are never in a dark place. The devil tells you you're in a dark place. Your situations and circumstances speak to you that you're in a dark place. But you need to understand, you're not like them folk who carry their gods around. You ain't carrying your God. If you are, you need to understand. If you don't see yourself in God's word, you need to see yourself in God's word. In other words, you need to get in God's word. She said, I was in a dark place. And I just said, wow, Lord help her. Because even after God delivers us, we see the truth, we look back, and we say, oh, Lord, I despaired of life. But even in that despair, he tells us what he said. Look at what it says now. There's another version. I can't remember exactly what it says. Read that 9th verse.
Indeed, in our hearts we heard the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves.
Read verse 8.
We do not want you to be uninformed, brother, about the actions in the province of Asia. We were under great far beyond our ability so that this.
Thank you. Thank you. There's another version. Okay, nice and loud.
I think we ought to know, brethren, about the hard times we went through in Asia. We were really crushed and overwhelmed, and feared we would never live through.
That's it. Vinya? We were crushed and overwhelmed, and we didn't even know if we were going to live through it. Hello, somebody. Who was this talking? Don't just say Paul, the apostle. I'm talking, I know a lot of folk call themselves apostles today, but I'm talking about the apostle. The apostle, Brother Peter. The apostle said that. And you know what he said? I'm asserting myself. I'm not just an apostle, but I'm an apostle by the, I know who I am. I'm an apostle because I'm an apostle by the will of God, not because I chose to be an apostle. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You can be an apostle and you can be in the will of the Lord, and yet you'll go through this place called Asia. I just use that place. Anybody ever been in a place called Asia? I'm not talking about the demographics. I'm talking about the place where they were. Did you see that? You ain't by yourself. That's somebody who went through it before you. No, look what he said. He says, burden beyond measure. Read it, Sister Carolyn. I like the way you read it. Eight.
I think you ought to know.
You ought to know. Mm-hmm. Anybody in here feel like you're being crushed and overwhelmed? Come on, you can raise your hands. Yes, I know you are. You might as well acknowledge it. Come on. Yes. Praise God. I'm going to change a little bit on y'all. I'm going to start allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Hallelujah, because when the Holy Spirit brings you out in the open, praise God, he wants to take you into the light. And the reason he's saying it to you is because he needs you to understand he understands. He wants you to understand that he understands.
Yes.
Glory to God. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look a minute. Yes, sir. Look at yourself. You wonder sometimes, Lord, did you call me in this place? Did you know this before? I didn't know all this before, but you did. He saw you when you got Denzel. He saw you when you married Bert. He knew already. Woo! And he chose you. He chose you. And he let you go into it, knowing that you weren't going by yourself. You don't have to carry it by yourself. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. That's right. That's right. That's right.